Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire, for Christ's sake. Amen. What we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. We should not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. With these words in the four quartets, T.S. Eliot imagines that life frequently comes full circle. We mark an ending, which really is also the beginning of something new. We often arrive again at where we started, sometimes returning from a journey or wherever life takes us. Sometimes after marking time, whether it be a day, a week, or even a season. But often we arrive with new awareness of ourselves, of our surroundings, and of the journey that had just taken place. And we recognize that we are changed. And in those moments, we see the familiar, we see others, and we see ourselves in a whole new way. So today I want to start us off with a question. Where in your life do you periodically return to where you'd like to experience something new? In April 2013, as I was preparing for interviews at the diocese, as part of figuring out whether I would move forward in the ordination process, I took a personal retreat day here in Palos Verdes. I had been familiar with this area because my parents had lived in Torrance for a couple of years, and my dad frequently came up the hill to hike along Malaga Cove and Bluff Cove. Sometimes I would join him, and he and I would have many meaningful conversations here. So on that April morning, I started at St. John Fisher Church, but the construction noise prompted me to find a quieter spot somewhere else. So I thought, I'm preparing for ordination in the Episcopal Church. Why not find an Episcopal Church nearby? So I found St. Francis that day. I walked into the chapel, but it was being prepared for a wedding. So I walked into the church office and asked if I could spend some time meditating and praying in the sanctuary, right here. So here I was, seeking God's call for me, right here at St. Francis. Can you believe that? A week later at the interviews, I would also meet Hank Gatlin and Reverend Paula for the very first time. So here I am today, arriving where I was before and knowing this place for the first time. So much has happened in these past 2 years, yet here I am with you, hearing what it means to love God, love others, and serve the world with all of you. In today's gospel reading, we return to Mark after 5 weeks in John, having focused on Jesus as the bread of life. In this reading, the Pharisees and the scribes engage in debate with Jesus about how they have noticed that the disciples had not washed their hands before eating. And it bothered them. In their worldview, eating with dirty hands made for dirty hearts. In their good and misguided intentions, they were anxiously focusing on getting things right and keeping the right observances. I'd like to have some compassion on the Pharisees. They usually get picked on. And that perhaps they were just too anxious in wanting to get things right. So Jesus countered with simply the importance of knowing where one's heart is and for our hearts to remain close to God. Jesus responded through how he scolded the Pharisees. He said, "You abandoned the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Jesus wanted to return to what really matters, as if saying, "Listen to me, all of you. Let's keep it real. Let's return to what really matters and keep the main thing the main thing. You might want to focus on human teaching, but I want to talk about the command of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And by the way, love your neighbors as yourself." And at our church, we would say, "Love God, love others, and serve the world." And yes, evil things can come from within. Just read the latest news and look what's going around this week. We had shootings and gun violence. We had human trafficking, migrants and refugees dying in the Mediterranean and suffocating in a truck in Austria. We have ongoing and tractable conflict in the Middle East. An ongoing need for racial reconciliation. So there's a lot of brokenness and hurt in this world. People who have been deeply affected by all of our sins, the things we have done and the things we have left undone. But in the midst of talking about what defiles, Jesus returns us to love. Our hearts long for and are capable of love as long as we continue to be aware of how God has made us and what God desires for us. So Jesus beckons, "Please, do not abandon the command of God to love." Today's reading from James also helps us understand how to love God and love others. James encourages us not to just be hearers, but to be doers of the word. The Christian writer Bob Goff, in his book Love Does, writes, "Love is never stationary. In the end, love doesn't just keep thinking about it or keep planning for it. Simply put, love does." Goff also writes, "There's only one invitation it would kill me to refuse, yet I'm tempted to turn it down all the time. I get the invitation every morning when I wake up and actually live a life of complete engagement, a life of whimsy, a life where love does. It's the invitation to actually live, to fully participate in this amazing life for one more day. Nobody turns down an invitation to the White House, but I've seen plenty of people turn down an invitation to fully live. Turning down this invitation comes in a lot of flavors. It looks like numbing yourself, or distracting yourself, or seeing something really beautiful as just normal. It can also look like refusing to forgive, or not being grateful, or getting wrapped around the axle of fear or envy. I think every day God sends us an invitation to live, and sometimes we forget to show up, or get head-faked into thinking we haven't really been invited. But you see, we have been invited every day, all over again. Sometimes the call to love overwhelms us. Some days it can be the easiest thing to do when we're with people that we enjoy being with. But on other days, it really can be challenging. But Jesus encourages us not to get too lost in the details. The challenge of each day is to arrive where we started and know that place for the first time. To love the person sitting right in front of us as if nothing matters in that moment or nothing else matters in the moment. Love does when we catch ourselves and recognize that in that very moment, what love can do. One of the most satisfying moments in my work as a therapist is when I meet a couple for the very first time and I ask them to tell me their story of their relationship and the story of their pain and what brought them in that day. These stories are very familiar to them, but very much new to me. And sometimes at the end of the session, I'd ask them if they'd heard something differently as they each were telling me their stories. And that satisfying moment is when one would say, "Oh yeah, I didn't know that this was how she experienced things. Or I didn't know that he felt this way about me." That new awareness often is the gateway to hope and change. So arriving at a familiar moment, but knowing the place for the first time, provides opportunities for love. So where are the moments we keep returning to where it's sometimes hard to see what love does? Perhaps we get caught up with what needs to be done, what we are anxious about, or we can't see past the hurt that has accumulated to recognize who the person is right before our eyes. How might we recognize these moments and fully live and fully love? So what's the familiar place that we would like to know anew? And how might love enter into those moments? When we come around to that familiar place, maybe it's pick up or drop off time at school, or sitting with a friend or a spouse, or seeing your difficult boss or coworker or classmate in a different light, or perhaps finally engaging someone that needs your help. Maybe it's a simple, "How are you?" and truly being curious and truly meaning it. Whatever it may be, love does when we see what love can do, and then we respond. This week we return to the Gospel of Mark after spending 5 weeks on Jesus, the bread of life. The detour wasn't accidental, but rather as we are called to love, to be doers of love, we return to this call hopefully with a deeper understanding of what it means to draw upon the bread of life as our sustenance for love. The Pharisees might be concerned about whether the hands of the disciples are clean. But Jesus says to them, "It doesn't matter if their hands are dirty. They are eating me, the bread of life. They are abiding in me, the true bread that gives life to the world." Partaking in the bread of life makes all the difference. Jesus is our sustenance and fuel as we live out the command to love. And we cannot do this on our own. May Jesus, the bread of life, sustain us and empower us to love God, to love others, and to serve the world. Amen.